thank you. You about to listen to Fresh Word with Prophet William Addison. Prophet William Addison is the executive pastor of Eagles House Chapel International, CEO of 12 Foundation International, a revelatory preacher, an international evangelist, and a psalmist. Get ready for the word that will transform your life forever.
Thank you for this love, Lord.
It's very important for us to get this, because many times we misunderstand many of these things, and you don't find people walking in the place they're supposed to walk. And as long as you're not walking there, you cannot get what you must get. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. I listened to one great man, and he said, progress is not always movement. Because we have been made to think that progress is always movement. It took the Holy Spirit to let him know that progress is not always movement. You can make progress and still not make a move. Don't worry. Simi Chebes, I'll help you out. Yes. Progress is simply when you do what God said you should do. That's when you have made progress, not when you are making physical movement. Because there are people who have made many movements, but they have never progressed. Come on, talk to me. Many of us have made many movements. Some of you have run from pillar to post, but you are still the same. Your mindset have not changed. Your response to God is the same. Your attitude to God is the same. How you frown your face in church is the same. You don't clap. You don't shout. You don't celebrate nobody. It must always be you. If it's not you, then forget it. Yes. Like what I did for Pastor Ben. Some people to be hard for them to do. What does it take from you? I did it to show you an example that you must learn to appreciate people for what God has given them. It's as simple as that. You may, because you don't know what it has done to him, it can carry him for the next 60 years of his life. It can carry him. Oh, yes. That's how you work. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? So progress does not simply mean you have to move from where you are seated to another place. Yes. Maybe when you were born, you had a lot of hair, but now you realize you are losing some. It's only your beard you are gaining.
Okay.
Yes, you are losing some. You know, you have seen that you have made progress in your age, but in terms of your hair, you have lost. Are you seeing the sense of the picture I'm trying to paint? So progress is not always movement. Okay, I have to help you, because if I leave you hanging, it will not help. So dedication, according to scripture, I've told you, dedication, we can also have sacred work. There can be certain works which are dedicated works, like to be a minister of the gospel. It's a sacred work. It's a dedicated work. To work in God's house, it is also a dedicated, it's a sacred service. Do you know that whatever we do in God's house is a sacred service? Come on, do you know that? Whatever we do in God's house is a sacred service. And for somebody to be involved in sacred service, the person must also be consecrated to do sacred services. Write it down. You need to be consecrated to do sacred services. That's why those who are involved in secret services, their lives, they live secret lives. Oh, yes. Those who are involved in secret services. I remember many years ago when, before Mommy and I got married, she used to work with a particular company. I can't mention it because of social media. And they were coming out with a product. And they have sworn secrecy that they won't talk about the design of the bottle, everything they were going to do. It only the team should know. Okay? She could only tell me that we are going to do this, but as to the details, she didn't open her mouth to tell me. I learned a virtue from that one. When you belong to God's secret service or sacred service, there are certain things that God only speaks to you, and you must keep it for your journey. It's not for telling others concerning how God said you should walk your way, because they can distort your path. That was just to help you. So dedication can also be in sacred work. It can also be with persons, which I've explained to you. It can also be with things, okay? Now, I want to go to an extreme level now. In terms of dedication, we absolutely look at self-sacrifice. Every dedication has to do with self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. I'm yet to see somebody who says, I'm dedicated to God, and there is no self-sacrifice. You cannot be dedicated to God or be brutally dedicated to God without self-sacrifice. So the key word for dedication is self-sacrifice. You have to sacrifice yourself. The self aspect of you must be given out. So in your dedication to the Lord, you are not looking at yourself, but you are looking at Him. It's not of you, but all of Him. Now the word dedicate, write it down. The word to dedicate, in other words, yourself, means this. I'll talk about five or six things, very strong words. The first one is this. To dedicate yourself means to be absorbed. Write it down. To be absorbed. I'll give you scriptures. When we say someone has absorbed something, you know what it means? It's like you take bread and you put the bread into water. What happens? Huh? What happens? The bread saps up the water that is there. So when we talk about someone has been absorbed, when you are dedicated to God, it means you have been absorbed by God. That's what it means. It means you have put bread inside the water and now it's soaked inside. Mingo, to be dedicated means to be soaked in God. If he came out of water right now, he was soaked. Every step he takes, you will see water here because that's what he's soaked with. How come you claim you are dedicated to God, but we don't see God in your life? We don't see God manifested in your antics, in your mannerism. We don't see him in your speech. We don't see him in your life. We don't see him around you. Nothing. Are you absorbed with him? Somebody say, oh, does that mean? Yes, it means to be obsessed with God. You are so obsessed with God. When somebody's obsessed with somebody, he can kill, he can destroy and not care. That's why I told you to be without feeling. Yes. Just that's what it means. It means to be absorbed, to get to the point where the second one is to be engrossed with God. Yes. When we say engrossed, another word for it also means to be riveted. When we say rivet, okay, rivet, do you know those of you who have cars? If you have a car here, lift your hand. Let me show you. Lift your hand. Lift your hand if you have a car. If I don't have a car, I'll lift my hand by faith because I'll own a car. You know, every car has a license plate. Okay? Not a car number. We call it license plate. Not a car number doesn't mean it's a license plate. So it's a license plate. Every license plate, you will find out that there's an aluminium, there is something they have used to hold the number plate to the car. Are you following what I'm saying? So to be dedicated to God is to be riveted like that. Pastor Bo, everywhere you find that car, you find a number there. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? In fact, that number becomes traceable to the vehicle. So every time, if you are riveted to God in terms of dedication, anybody who sees you must see God. I know you like, since yesterday, you have never liked my message, but I'm still preaching.
Go ahead.
Glory to Jesus. That's what it means. It means to be riveted to God. You. He has embossed you. That's what it is. That's what it is. So wherever you find yourself, you are brutally, you are without feeling. So whatever is not God, you don't have feeling for it. And I'm getting there. Whatever is not of him, there is nothing on your inside that responds to it. No. So you can't choose a party over church. Oh, yes. You can't choose sleeping and watching a soap opera over coming to a prayer service. You can't. If you are... I mean, yet the car cannot move and leave the license plate in the house. Where the car is, the plate is there. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? Yes, it's there. It's there. That's why if you are moving without it, the police can stop you many times. That's why many of us, spiritually, they stop us many times. Many times, too many stoppages. If you don't clap, I'm still preaching. I know I'm preaching good. So far, am I not preaching well? Ah, I salute you. Come and shake my hand. It's been long. Good to see you today. Very long time. That's it. That's why many stoppages are there. Because they want to give you the access of movement. You don't have. So when Papa says it's the month of brutal dedication, you think it's just a thing for the month. It's not just a thing for the month. It must be visible in your life. You are brutally dedicated. You don't have feeling for anything that is not of God. It doesn't attract you. It doesn't excite you. It doesn't move you. It has no pinch on you. It has no pinch on you. I want to run quickly. Very quickly. Let me give you some more words. Then we can be closing. Write this point down. The next one means to be consumed. To be consumed. See, the zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. To be dedicated and to be consumed. When fire consumes something, all you see is the debris. That's all you see. When a fire consumes something, you won't find anything else. You claim that the Lord, rise up, please. You claim that you have been consumed by God, and yet your arrogance is still in place. You're a liar. You claim, because if fire consumes something, it will never be what it was before. Oh, yes. You claim that you are dedicated to God, He has consumed you, and you are so unforgiving. You are so critical. You are so judgmental of everyone. Oh my goodness. You said He has consumed you. He hasn't. Stop lying to yourself, because He hasn't. He hasn't. Look, I have seen people who preach the word of God, and when they go through trials, they can't even quote scripture. Oh yes. Oh yes. As for scripture, you can look. Once you are articulate, you know how to talk. You can preach it. It's not in it. You can preach it. You can go into it. But what brings the difference is the spirit that flows through what you teach. That's what brings the difference. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? You said the Lord has consumed you, and you don't remember the last time you even prayed for 30 minutes, and you say He consumed you. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. I like, what do you say? Who said it? Emfa. And I'll say Amfa. Emfa. It doesn't add up. Clap for it doesn't add up. Next one. Next one. Write it down. To be dedicated or to dedicate yourself means to throw yourself into. You throw yourself into something. I can't say what you mean. To throw yourself. Go ahead. To throw yourself into. Eh? Utu huashim. Or you have dived into, right? That's it. Eh? Yes. To throw yourself into. If you really threw yourself into God, you won't be like this. Oh yes, you won't be like this. You won't be like this. To dedicate yourself. Let's look at a scripture quickly. Then I'll give you the rest of them. 1 Timothy 4. This was Paul talking to his spiritual son. He was speaking to him as a minister of the gospel. As a young man whom the Lord has called into ministry, he ought to ignite something on his inside to let him know that this thing you have taken upon yourself is not just a child's play, but you must be diligent enough. And there is a key word there that will help you in case you don't know what you are in. 16, 15, let's start from 14. And then we'll end at 15. Start from 14. Yes, quickly.
Yeah. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy.
Now you see that everyone has something God has given to the person. So there is a particular thing God has blessed everybody with. Everyone has something. Yes, continue.
With the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them.
Now, look at this. Now, the dedicate means to give yourself entirely. Write it down. I'm giving you all the words, synonymous words, entirely. Other verses you talk about, give yourself wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Give yourself wholly to it. You know, if we are to look at spiritual standards and sometimes how we relate to God, a lot of us will be below the belt. A lot of us will be below the belt. Because your dedication level is too small. That's why you can easily opt for something else than his presence. That's why little things can move you away. You can choose your tiredness over prayer. Oh, yes. You can choose food over fasting. That's what it is. You can choose it easily. Because you have not given yourself, you have not thrown yourself in him. Because if indeed you have thrown yourself in him, you won't do that. I told you if you have been consumed, nothing is left. But all of you is left, so you are not thrown in him. You have never thrown yourself into him. There is too much of you available. And as long as there is too much of you available, there will be less of him visible. I said what? When too much of you is available, there will be less of him visible. It's a good point to write. He said, give yourself. This is a father speaking to a son. And he said that you have to give yourself. It means throw yourself. Let that consume you. He said, be diligent in these things and make sure that you give yourself wholly to them. Because if you don't give yourself wholly, you will not make progress. And nobody will also see your progress. That's why many believers don't make progress. You don't make progress. They have stayed in church for long, but they have never made progress because they've not given themselves wholly to them. Let me give you two more points. To dedicate yourself also means to have single-mindedness. You are not a double-minded person. So when it comes to choosing God over things, you will choose God. And that was a simple question that Jesus was asking Peter on that day. He asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He was asking, are you sure you are really, really dedicated to me? That's the question he was asking him. Because to love is to walk in dedication. The next one I'll close with. I'll give you a few examples in the Bible. Then we'll be closing finally. It means to owe allegiance, to fully dedicate or to dedicate yourself is to owe allegiance. When you owe someone allegiance, you owe the person your integrity. You will not give up on the person when it counts. Even when you know that the person is at fault, you know it is faulty, but yet you will defend the person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh. You know the truth. But because of your allegiance, you can't back off from the person. You still stay. No matter what is said, what is done to the person, you still stay. These days, those people are they are not common to find. Because the Bible tells us that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. And we have so many people in church like that. They love themselves than any other person. They don't owe allegiance to anyone. Anyone. When your allegiance is not to God, you can mess up and fool around in church and expect that God will still come through to bless you. No, it doesn't work that way. It has never worked that way. You're not the first person to let that work for you because it doesn't work that way. The purpose of dedication is that you will never be drifted from God. That's the purpose of dedication. Write it down. The whole purpose of dedication is that nothing drifts you from God. Nothing takes you from God. Nothing moves you from his presence. Nothing. Nothing. That's the whole purpose of dedication. And nothing drifts us from God. Romans chapter 8, 25 to 27, quickly. 35 to 37. Romans 8, quickly. Now we'll go into the scriptures that will make further elaborations, then we'll close. Yes.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation.
Now you will see here when Paul is speaking, he's trying to explain to us one after the other to let us see if any of these things have the power to cancel our dedication or to remove our dedication from its place. I will show you more scriptures today to let you know that there were times Paul even knew that the places he's about to go, people are looking for him to kill him, but yet he was willing to go there. You see, when you are not dedicated to God, there are things you will value your life than God. But Jesus also said, those who value their life, they will lose it. When you place too much value on yourself, you will lose it. Read for us quickly.
Or distress, mm-hmm, or persecution.
Now you see one of them. He said that the first one is that tribulations. He's talking about what? Come on, he's talking about what? Hey, everybody's talking about what? The first word he said what? He's saying who? So what are the persons? What are the personalities that can detach us from God? And the first one he's talked about was tribulations. When you go through tumultuous times, you find yourself in situations where you don't know where you should turn to. The tension is so high. Tribulations everywhere. And he says that, would that be able to separate you from God? Next one is what? Distress. When someone gets to a place where the person is so distressed with pressure, with so many things you have to attend to, things you have to do, and there is no help from anywhere, he said, can that separate you? But many of us is separating us. It has cut off your dedication. It's good, Philip, you stood up. Somebody tell you, I'm writing exams, so I can't come to church. We have all been students before. I had a paper in the morning. I went for an all night, came back, I wrote a paper. I didn't fail.
Thank you.
I didn't fail.
Thank you.
Harold was my mate in university. I did not fail. It is only you who can trust God with your life. After all the books you have learned, what has happened to you? What has happened to you? What has happened to you? Oh, as for church, church is always there. Church is always there. Church is always there. Church is always there. That is what you see. One day church will be no more. We'll see where you'll be. As for church, it's always there. You have been learning from morning to evening. That 2 hours, 3 hours you come and spend with God in church, that alone will let you fail. But in the time that you are using to study, you could make time to visit your girlfriend. You had time to talk. You had time to go on social media, check everything, do all the things you're supposed to do. You had time for all, except that you see church as deducting from your quality time you will use to study to pass your exams. You are passed, you are still looking for a job. The God that you felt he would take only 1 or 2 hours of your time, you could not dedicate that time to him. Now you are coming to him after you have satisfied yourself. You have come to him for him to help you, because as for God, he understands. Did he send you a text message? You understand that thing? Did he tell you? Show me the text message. If he told you, he understands. People tell you, I'm writing exams. I can't come, Pastor. I know I'm writing exams and I can't come to. Thank God we have all been students before. We have all been students before. The next one is, they said persecution. Look at that. You'll be persecuted. There will be famine. There will be nakedness. I don't have a dress to wear. Pastor, it's only one dress I have. It's only two dresses I have. When I come to church, they'll look at me. They'll look. But the same dress you claim you have, you've been going to the marketplace. You'll be visiting your friends. You'll be going to everywhere you have to go to. It's only church. And you too, when they bring the church, you keep your mouth shut. Why do you talk about the dress if it's only one they wear?
Okay.
You are contributing to them not coming to church because you are talking about the dress. Shall distress, tribulation, nakedness, peril, pain. Pain can let people sit in the house. They won't come to church. We talked about sword. When death comes, when things cut through your life, you don't know where you should be. Next verse, quickly. Next verse.
As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long.
You see what Paul said? He said, for you people, for your sake. Look at what is happening to us. We are killed. He said, our life is like we are being killed. And indeed, the apostles were being killed. So he was not just saying words. The apostles were being killed. They go out and they are killed. That's why it came to a point that the apostles changed their attire to red. That's why they changed it to red. That's why apostles like wearing red, to signify the death and the blood That's why they started wearing the red. It's not for fun. It's not for fun. Yesterday I told us that a father is a place of experience. It's not a place of childbirth. It's a place of experience. It's not because you are giving birth, so you are a father. No, it's a place of experience, a place of maturity. That's how we honor people as fathers. So he's saying that, look, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's how we are counted. People look at us like we are sheep that our neck have been tied with ropes. They are dragging us to go and kill us. He's saying that we as apostles, that's how they see us. And that's the truth. That's the truth. We are being dragged every day. And he's saying all these things are not in the capacity to separate us from the love of Christ. Yes. There are many people, when they have the COVID, they don't want to go to church again. Oh, I'll watch it online. I'll lie in my bed and watch online. Ask him whether he heard one thing that was said in the service. Not even one. Not even one. You don't pay attention. Not even one. Let me give another scripture because of time. Acts of Apostles chapter 20. Let's go. This one, give me Message Bible. Let's run quickly. From verse 22. Quickly. I'm showing you how you can be dedicated. You don't have feeling for anything apart from God. I'm not saying don't go to work. I'm not saying don't have time for your family. That's not what I'm saying. But anything that comes between you and God. Anything that comes between you and God. When we go to heaven, you won't say that this one is my wife. This one is my son. This one is my daughter. This one is this. We all appear as saints of God. Read for us quickly. Time.
But there is another agency before me now.
Look at Paul speaking again. I'm showing you that there are people who are brutally dedicated to God so much, they don't care what happens to their body. You know, there are many people, especially women, they are susceptible to these things. Somebody says, oh, pastor, when I fast, I'm going to lose my shape, I'm going to lose my dress, and I have to change my dresses, and I have to... So some people do like to fast because it's the flesh, it's their body. It's the body they are looking at. And my hand is going to be slim. Nobody's going to see me. I'm going to lose my back. I'm going to lose my front. I'm going to lose my side. I'm going to lose my toes, my knee, and all kinds of excuses. So they cannot fast. People look at them funny. Are you sick? Is something wrong with you? Then they ask you questions. So because of the words of men, you prioritize that over your relationship of dedication to God. There are people, because of their self-ego, their self-ego alone, they will prioritize that over God. Yes. Yes. Their self-ego. One day God will visit you and tell you, that secret thing you did, I want you to preach it in the pulpit when you go there. You will see. Go and ask Joyce Meyer, when God asked her to preach that message about how the father raped her, to preach it in the pulpit. You don't fear this God, eh? Somebody feel like jumping from the church, disappearing from the church. Stay here. Read for us.
I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem.
Now, look at what Paul is saying. He said, I feel compelled. That means that, you see, why is that compelling force there? Because of dedication. You line up, I feel compelled to rise up to go to church. It is time for church. You will not slap your alarm and say, let me sleep 30 more minutes. Oh, I woke up late. But if you are going to work, you will get up to go. That's why I said you are not your feeling for what directly brings you benefit is more, because you find this is for church. This one is for me. So once it's for you, it's good. But once it's for God, he can wait. Quickly.
I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there.
Do you know the statement? He's saying that I don't even know what's going to happen to me, even though I have to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You see, people who are so dedicated to God. So when sometimes you find some people who are calling themselves apostles, and you look at this apostle and the thing he's saying and what they are doing, they will put us line by line. You say you're apostle, we put this one here. Let him stand there. Let's see him. You have not even put one block together. One brick upon another brick. You have never even done that. But this man is saying, I don't know what's going to happen to me in Jerusalem. I'm in the dark about it. It means God has not even told me what's going to happen. But next verse,
I do know that it won't be any picnic.
All he's thinking is that it's not going to be. Do you know what picnic is? Somebody explain to me where they got this word picnic. I'll talk to you later. Let's continue.
For the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly.
Look at that.
And clearly.
Reason.
That there are hard times and imprisonment ahead.
Shit. But he said, I will still go. He said, I will still go. Whether I'm going to die, I am going to live, I will still go. So compare your dedication to them. Are you sure you are dedicated? Answer yourself. Are you sure you are dedicated? If your toe is paining, you won't come to church, but you go to work. My late father used to say this in his preaching. He says that you will go to the marketplace, you find people, they are sick, but yet they are lying by the goods they sell. They are lying down there. He'll tell you, take it, let him show you the price. Or the whole. But that form in charade. That form in charade. Your suit is nice. That form. So you are real. But my mom, but also for the fundamental neighbor, then when I take it, then you raise the head and show you the price. But the person is saying, but won't me and Baba transfer them, sir? You never come. Don't ask me so bad, so better him. Or better now, can you know? Please rise up, clap for him. Yes! You find them like this at the marketplace. You find them there. But the same person will never come to church. Oh, pastor, and I am in my head. So pastor, and I'm in my cycle. But the cycle, you go to work with it. You can't come to church with it. You go to work with it. But you can't come to church with it. One day, a certain woman looked at another woman in the office and said, pregnancy is not a sickness. I'm also a mother. You said, pregnancy is not a sickness. Sit down and do the work. Sit down and work. Sit down and work. Say, it's not a sickness. Sit down and work. So when you see people who are brutal, you won't like them. But brutality always brings results. I told you when I started that when you are so brutal, there are people who know they will not bring, let me use this word, they will not bring certain silly things around your life. You know why? Because they won't try you. So when you are like that in God's kingdom, there are some things witches won't try around you. Don't try it. Don't try it. Because if they touch you, the way you would take up 1 week of fasting and blast their kingdom, they won't try you. Don't try you. Don't try you. You're in second crowd. They have monitored you for years. They know. But for some people, they know if they touch them. Look, for 1 month, the way they will blast in tongues every midnight, nobody will sleep in the area. So nobody will go and touch it. Oh, yes. Yes. You have made yourself sanctimonious like that, and the devil is always beating you. Let me give another scripture. We are closing now. Now, Songs of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4. Let's give another scripture also. Romans chapter 2, verse 9. Read all quickly because my time is up. Time is up. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm showing you what dedication is. Solomon explained it in a very beautiful way. Yes?
Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go.
You said you have found God. Yeah? Hold the hand. You started from here. Pass here. Pass here first. No. Leave the hand. You said in plain sound. I keep walking. Gate in the church. I want to propose. It'll be out in the church. For her. No, bro. I'm helping you. For her. You saw her. You didn't say anything. But you saw her and you held her hands. I'm showing you what Solomon did. Look at what he said. He said, when I found the one, I said, scarcely had I passed by them. But when I found the one I love, I held the hands. Look at what he said. He said, I held him and would not let him go. You claim that you were in the world, you didn't love the world, and you have found Christ. You have held his hands. You will not let him go. Are you sure? Is that how you are dedicated to him? Solomon is trying to show you that you said you don't like the world, you don't like all this, and this is the one you found, and you held the hands. You said, I will not let you go. The day you accepted Jesus, you said, all the days of my life, you will serve him. Is that what you are doing? You have let go his hands, and you have held other things. That's what Solomon is saying. Continue.
Until I had brought him.
He said, I brought him. You told everybody, now I'm born again. Brought him to your mother. Look at that. Into the chamber of you who conceived me. I made my mom to know about my lover. But mostly they tell their moms first before they tell their dads. That's the truth. That's the truth. Don't tell my wife I told you this. My wife is forcing my son to say, Mama, Mama. The guy, anytime he says, say Mama, say Dada, 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 Dada. Don't tell her I told you this. Yes. Say Mama, say Mama. Then my son will say, Dada, 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 Dada. Is that what you say? Anyway, let's go back to the scripture. You pulled the hand and brought her to the womb that conceived you. Solomon is saying that is how our dedication was to God. Yes. Is that how your dedication is? Is that how it is? Do you have brutal dedication towards God? When you set an alarm, you know you pray at 12 a.m. or even 6 p.m. Your alarm will ring, you will hit it. Or you push it, 30 more minutes, 30 more minutes, 30 more. Before you realize time has passed, you have to do something else. You go and do it and you never pray. So you want to say you book an appointment with God? Sof Michael, you book an appointment with God at 6 p.m. and you didn't bother and you left that particular time you told God, I will meet you for us to talk, and you don't feel anything on your inside. There is no remorse. You are not ashamed. You can't even go to God and repent and ask him for mercy. Then I don't know the kind of person you are. You have booked an appointment. I want you to see how serious the picture I'm painting. You have booked an appointment with God. And that time just left like that, and you didn't even bother about it. Nothing moved you. You are comfortable to walk in this life. And when an accident is coming, you know he will save you. When you go to the office, there is commotion, and they feel like they want to demote you because of a simple error you committed. Then you say, my family, which is up, they have not risen against you. They have not done anything to you. I don't want to mention some names, but anyway, let me give you one more scripture. I give you two, right? Romans 3 something, right? Let's finish it quickly. 2:9, quickly.
Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Greek.
It says that there will be trouble and distress from every human being who does evil. What? What first? So trouble comes to those who are not. Oh my goodness. Let me give you one more scripture. I want to run. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians 4:12. You can begin from 11, and then you end at 12. Then, one more scripture. Then we close. I have a little time. Please run quickly. Run quickly.
To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed, and beaten, and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless,
you see,
being persecuted.
Paul is speaking about all these things, that we are laboring, we are being persecuted, we are being tortured. All kinds of things are happening to us. Because of our dedication to God, no matter what happens around us, we are still doing this thing, we are not giving up on it. Oh yes. Someone say, I'm saving the money to go and do this. People will save money to fix their hair so that people can say they are looking nice, or they can clap for them, or they can look great, but they can't save money to give offering. They can't save money to give offering. They cannot. They won't save money for offering. Don't do it. You tell you, oh, I'm saving the money for my week. If I come to church, I can't have money to go to. But that same person, it's not the truth. They lie. They know they have it. Except that if your affection is for God. Look, if your affection is for God. In the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, they said something to them. They said, King, we are not careful to answer you in this. He said, we are so brutally dedicated to our God so much that even if it doesn't save us or it doesn't rescue us, we will still not bow. Let me caution you here. Know that the world is getting to a place, hear this, the world is getting to a place gradually where it will be discomforting for Christians to be on it. You have to know that for real. Because we are gradually getting to that point where your life will be so much tight and difficult that if you don't stand well and you are not solely dedicated to God, you easily compromise things just because you want to live. Oh, yes. So teach your children, show them how to be hungry for some time. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them how to be radical, to stay by their convictions and remain by it. Because the Bible speaks about perilous times, and gradually we are seeing it unfolding day after day. We are getting there. So if the least thing you give up, you back off right now, then know that as for you, you're already in their hands. Let me give you another scripture here. Oh, glory to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:26. Let me show you, Paul is speaking again, and he's referring to some of the things he has been through, that his dedication is still in place. When you get to the point where you are so dedicated to God, I'm telling you, you can give to God and go hungry and still be comforted. Yeah. These are messages people don't like. Oh, but Pastor, how can I give to God and be hungry? Are you the first person to be hungry? That's why you cannot do great things for God. That's why. Because these Hebrew guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not the Shadrach here, not the Meshach here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see what happened? They boasted about God. They spoke big words about God. They told the king, we will not bow, no matter what you do. We will not bow. The king said, okay, you won't bow. We'll take you inside. We'll take you inside the furnace. If you were also a Christian and you saw, Mingo, please rise up. You saw him being carried. Godfrey, please come. Do the name. Please join. If these are the three men, they are going inside the fire. They said, King, we will not bow. No matter what you say, we will not bow. And you saw them being led into the fire. Be honest with yourself. Would you still trust this God who is looking at them and they are being taken and he's not coming? God is not doing anything. Hey, so God is not doing anything. And this guy is going through this and God has abandoned him. And that is what the world will let you feel. The God that was still, go inside the fire. Why have you stopped? They are going to the fire. And you are watching them and God didn't say one word. God never said they should boast about him. He never asked them to talk to the king. They decided to speak about God, to tell the king, we will not bow no matter what you do. And they were still going to the fire. They were still going. And you are watching them and they are going. If you are the next standing in the queue. If you are the next, come. I like your dressing. If you are the next standing in the queue and you see them, they are in front of the furnace and you are the next to join, they'll come and ask you the same question. Will you bow or enter the fire? And you remember that you left some banana cake in your fridge. You didn't finish it. With some strawberry chocolates. You have left them inside your fridge. You have not even tasted it, but they called you and you came out and it's waiting for you inside of your fridge and you are the next in line. They'll come and ask you similar questions. Be honest with yourself. You will tell yourself that it's not time for you to die. Somebody will say, oh, let me leave God today and tomorrow I'll take him. That's it. This is what was happening. God was very mute. No talking. God never said one word. He never said he would join them. Probably they didn't even know whether God would show up inside the furnace, because they have not been in the furnace for God to show up. This case has never happened before. So they don't know whether God will come or he will not come. But they said, even if he does not come, we are willing to die to make history. Oh, you don't like my message. Some of you, a time is coming where your faith will be tested. Your dedication to God will be tested. I pray for you that God will give you the grace to stand and not deny him. Oh, yeah. I pray that your dedication will be so strong and in place that your affection for God, nothing will drift it. Amen. Nothing will drift it. Nothing will drift it. And they are standing there and they are going inside the furnace and God is still not saying nothing about their case. Like some of us here, God has said nothing about your case. Even though you have been fasting and praying, he has said nothing. So you are thinking, whether God is listening, or did he listen, or I didn't pray well. But the guys are still going. And my friend, they entered. Don't think God showed up at the door. They were in the fire. Oh my goodness. Maybe my heart would have been broken. Imagine, Sofo, they are streaming this live on national TV. This is it. God, it was the king. Everybody is watching. They were the three Hebrew boys. They are being sent inside of the fire. And everybody's watching, because remember, they were not the only Hebrew guys there. Daniel was also there. Don't forget, Daniel was also there. In the same Babylon, Daniel was also one of them. So you find these ones, they take them inside, enter the fire, go up. Go up. Now they have entered the fire. You turn your back and start crying. Like Peter did. Peter saw what was going to be done to Jesus. The little girl said, ah, this man is also one of them. Hey, don't touch me. So don't touch me. He did it. He left the place where he sat. He left the place. He didn't want anybody to see that he knows him. Those of you who give up on your friends when they go through bad times, shame on you. I said what? Those of you who give up on people because they are being tried, shame on you. 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 You will see them inside the fire. God is still quiet, but he's resident. You didn't hear what I just said. I said, God is quiet and yet resident. You understand what I said? He is quiet, but he's there. He's not saying nothing, but he's there. So they enter the fire, and no fire is touching them. Oh, you are not hearing what I'm saying. They are inside of the fire. No fire is touching them, because someone's presence, the King of Glory's presence, is what is keeping them from being consumed. Oh, you are not hearing what I'm saying. The reason why you have endured what you have endured is that his presence is always there with you. That's why it did not kill you. Oh, that's why you were not sentenced to jail. Even if you were sentenced to jail, that's why you are still alive. Brutal dedication. Brutal dedication. So strong. They were dedicated to God. And God said, no, I can't give up on these people. In the Garden of Gethsemane, please, you can come back to say, Garden of Gethsemane, clap for them. Jesus was right in the midst. Luke 22, 41 to 43. That's my final scripture. Jesus was right in their midst. And Jesus moved a little bit away to pray, because his soul was afflicted. But because of dedication to the Father, he made a statement. Please finish for us. I have 6 minutes.
And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me.
You see where dedication comes? Ah, I wish I can sleep. I wish like today I won't go to church. I wish I would have spent this money to do something else. I wish I could do this, but because of my dedication, selfless dedication to God, let me choose yours. Let me take yours. Let me accept your will. That's what Jesus did. Look at the scripture. Next verse. Okay, finish. No,
nevertheless, not my will, but yours.
That's all he
be
said.
Be done.
Yours be done. It means I can choose, but because of dedication to the kingdom, I will not choose anything. I will only choose what you said. I'll take yours. I'll do this. That's why when you find people who are giving to God, they are not crazy. It's not that they have a balance of money, they want to throw some away. No, they are so dedicated to God that they know that if God can get it through them, he can get it to them. I told you yesterday. Yes. They know that whatever they have in their hands, a wind can blow. If Job could lose everything, you can lose everything. Oh, yes. If it happened to Job, it can happen to you. Don't say Tofiak. There's something you even say Tofiak, it will still happen. Don't lie to yourself. You can still do any prayer you will pray. Tell me the amount of prayer Jesus didn't pray. But yet he said, not as I will, but let your will be done. And when he said that, see what happened. Finish.
Then an angel appeared to him from heaven.
You see?
Strengthening him.
Because you are not brutally dedicated. You see, you are losing strength. You are losing strength. You are always weak. You don't have capacity. You don't have inclination. There are no feats from heaven into your spirit. Yes. There is no direct word from heaven that will infuse into your soul for you to rise up because you are not dedicated. So when it comes to difficult times of your life, you have no answers. I pray for somebody this morning that your dedication will never fall flat.
Amen.
You don't like what I'm saying. I say your dedication will never fall flat. Amen. Rise on your feet and shout aloud, I am brutally dedicated to God.
I am brutally dedicated.
Come on, shout it three times. Number one.
I am brutally.
Stand up. Number two.
I am brutally.
Number three. Somebody give the Lord the mightiest shout you can ever give him. Give the Lord a praise. Lift your hands. We want to pray. You're going to pray for a few minutes. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, my Heavenly Father.
My Heavenly Father.
This morning.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I come with a repentant heart.
With a repentant
every
heart.
Every area of my life.
Every area of
where
my life.
Where I failed you.
Where I failed
I repent.
You. I repent.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I want to hear. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
every
Jesus.
Every area of my life.
Where you expected me
to be dedicated unto you.
But I failed.
With my hands lifted. I ask for your mercy. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Ask God for his mercy. Ask him for his mercy. Ask the Lord for his mercy. Everywhere you were supposed to behave yourself, you were supposed to show your affection. You were supposed to show that the Lord has consumed you. Prabiba Atalidabaha. Emanda Shabara Kapata Stimana Manavaha. I'm not hearing you at all. Lift up your voice. Tell the Lord. My hands are lifted.
Shabra Ita
Zama. I ask for your mercy.
Emanta Lima Shabra Kada Basoza Pradija. Emenena Man.
Come on. Somebody open your mouth and pray.
Masoza Varadiata. And then Matali
Jabradija. You must be surely holy. Give thyself holy to them. That your progress will be seen by all. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I want to hear. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
As I clap and pray.
I receive.
The spirit of single-mindedness.
Of single-mindedness.
Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
as
Jesus.
As I clap and pray.
As I clap and
I declare,
oh God,
let my life be filled with your spirit.
Say,
I declare today,
I am absorbed.
Say, I am consumed. Say, I throw myself
into God.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
as I clap and pray, from today,
I declare
my whole destiny.
Say, my whole life.
Everything I do,
I will place my God as my priority. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice, begin to pray.
Some of you are not praying at all.
Some of you are not praying well.
Kumanataba, Infantasta, Eremo, Salabrabina, Babato, Baradata, Ekoparade, Sobredata, Babade, Evarato, Shababia, Evranata, Ikamanato, Zamante, Evena, Manamana, Masalia, Eremo, Sicily, Bradisha, Abato, Samatala, Ivanto, Babata, Shabana, Baba, Shabana, Baba, Shabana, Baba, Shabana,
somebody lift up your voice and declare that in the name of Jesus, I receive in the name of Jesus. I want us to pray with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:10. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul said something very strong there. Quickly, 12:10.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities.
Now he says that I delight in infirmities, in my weaknesses. Why? I'm so dedicated to God that even when I'm weak, my dedication is not taken out. It's still embedded in it. Yes.
In reproaches.
He said in insults, even when I'm insulted for my dedication, I don't care how they insult me, I'm still dedicated.
In needs.
You know, there are some of us when we leave here Sunday, we only come here Sunday. Sunday to Sunday. The whole week is only one day you come to church. Only one day. Oh, somebody said, oh, Pastor, you're quite sorry to do. You go to work Monday to Friday. You have done it for over 15, 10, 5 years, 6 years. You have never complained. Monday to Friday, consistently. Some of you, even on holidays, you still go to work. Like you. Some people, even weekends, and you too. Some that weekends, you still go. You go to work. And they are quite sorry to do. Oh, you go in the evening. From 8 a.m., you stay in the same place till 5 p.m. How many hours have you stayed there? We started 8 o'clock. Check 8 o'clock. 9. 10. How many hours? Latest, 11. You're not dedicated to God. When you sit behind that boy who even disappoints you and is spending your money, you can stay there for long and not even know that time is going. You will sit and talk very like 11 a.m., 12 midnight. You are now going to do on your phone to get a taxi to get you home. And when you get home, you will call again to continue the conversation. Then you go back to your office and go and sit in front of your PC and you are dozing off. And when you are suspended...
Believe you have been blessed by this broadcast. Contact me on phone via +233 244 69 4299 or email me on propwilly@gmail.com. That is propwillie@gmail.com. Follow me on my social media platforms, Facebook page at Prophet William Addison Podcast, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Instagram handle and Twitter handle at Prof Willie, that is PROPHWILLIE at Prof Willie. And if you're not born again and you listen to this broadcast and you want to give your life to Christ, say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.